How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Glad you tuned in again this time and thankful for it. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 14, verse number 34. Our Lord Jesus has just been dealing with some folks and then a multitude that was following him, folks at a dinner that he'd been invited to, and then multitudes that were following with him. And that multitude he challenged and challenges us, saying, it's all or nothing with me. You've got to be all in. Count the cost and be ready to take up your cross and follow me. If you don't forsake all that you have, verse number 33, you can't be his disciple. It's just the way that it is. No half-time or part-time with the Lord. Then he comes to this, verse 34, salt is good. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Salt. You know, we couldn't have life without salt. That's the design of the Lord in these bodies. Without the right amount of sodium and the sodium chloride is salt, and without those two elements, sodium and chlorine, or the chlorides as they're oxidized there in salt, without the right amount of those, our bodies really get strange behaving. And so the Lord says salt is good. And that's what his children are. To be a follower of Jesus Christ and disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a difference in a person than the normal, natural way of walking after this world and the desire of the flesh and the heart. And so he ends up this challenge of those, the multitude there, and about those that will follow him. They must forsake all. Their love for him must be far and above even that of their wives, their spouses, their husbands, their children even. And we know how much we love our children, grandchildren and that. Our love for our Lord Jesus must exceed and excel above all of those. It must be different. It must be greater. And he said, that's what makes that is where my children are different and are salty regarding the truth of God's good word. Salt is good. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? See, you can't make salt salty with anything else. There's no substitute for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no substitute for repentance of sins and faith in the Savior. God the Son, having come down in the flesh, lived a perfect life, and then having a 3-year ministry and preaching the gospel of his kingdom, and then fulfilling that gospel on Calvary's tree. There's just no substitute. There's nothing else that can come in there and do the same thing. There's no other Savior. There's no other way of payment of sins or forgiveness. It's only by the Lord Jesus. And the effect of that upon people and their love for their Lord and the difference that is and makes over our natural existence is likened to salt. You probably, as I have known of salt substitutes, and that's what they are, is they're not a substitute, because there's really no such thing. There's some things that maybe kind of taste kind of sort of close to salt, but they don't taste like salt, do they? And salt is good to season meat and to season vegetables, It's got its place. It can make something that's kind of on its way to being good and blasé and just really make it pop, can it? That's the way salt is. And that's what the children of God are to be. There's going to be a great difference. A great difference. And also, salt is a preserver, isn't it? There's going to be a preservation. The existence of the children of God and their witness of God to this lost and dying world is a vehicle or in a sense, a motivator of the long-suffering of God. For the sake of his children, the Lord holds off. We see this example when the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah was coming up in the nostrils of God, that stench, and the Lord Jesus, I believe it's the Lord Jesus, the angel of God, comes with those two angels and meets there with Abraham, and Abraham petitions the Lord on so many different people, so many people, a count of people being there, and it gets down, if there's ten, he won't destroy the city. And of course, we know that there wasn't even 10, sad to say. There could have been, but there was not. And seems that the witness of Lot was just not a powerful witness of the Lord. And for the sake of 10, the Lord would have not condemned Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain there. Salt is good. But you can't make it salty with anything else. Salvation is a blessing and the call of the Lord, a blessing, the blessing indeed. You just can't substitute it with anything else. The witness of the people of God in this lost and dying world, living for and shining for Him, cannot be substituted with anything else. He says here that salt that's not salty, it's neither fit for the land. You can't put it on the land to get rid of it like rock or dirt. And it's not fit for the dunghill. It's just in the way. The Lord says in other places that men throw it out on the road. A road pack. Can you imagine being road pack? Just refuse to be put on the road. To be trodden under the foot of men. That's a sad thing, isn't it? But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Do you hear that? That you're a sinner and you need a Savior and that Jesus is the only one. That all of us are guilty. You're guilty. I'm guilty. We're sinners. When we break out the Ten Commandments, when we break out the good law of God, we find out that we're transgressors. And that's the purpose of those things, to show us that we're transgressors. We naturally want other gods. We naturally have idols. We naturally pursue blasphemy of God Almighty, taking His name in vain and using His name, the name of our Savior, in such wicked ways. The lack of honoring of parents. The thought of murder and hatred, a theft, lying, fornication and wickedness, and then covetousness. We're guilty, and the law shows us that we're guilty. You're guilty. I'm guilty. We need a Savior. And we see here the Scripture tells us that the only Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world. And that's meaning not that He'll save the whole world, because we know that Cain and Pharaoh and Judas were not saved. He's not going to save the whole world. But you know what? Salvation is offered to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. What you must do is repent of your sins and believe and trust and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, count the cost. You're going to have suffering, and the world's going to hate you. It's going to be that way. But you know what? You can be salty for the Lord then and only then. And there's no other way to be saved. We point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you and you might hear the truth of His gospel and His good word. We come here to chapter 15 in Luke, and we see here in verse number 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And isn't that something that the publicans and the sinners, they want to hear what the Lord says? See, they know their need. They know that they have sin, as the Lord Jesus had spoken. He'd spoken that in seemingly in previous chapters. He said, he told the Pharisees, he said, if you say you had sin, then your sin could be taken away. But you say you have no sin, you're okay, and your sin remains. These publicans and sinners, these traitors on their nation and collecting the taxes and all kinds of various transgressors, they push to hear the Lord. He's got a peaceable word unto them. And the Lord's not easy on sin and transgression against God, but they hear in him that he is what they need. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Because they need a Savior. The righteous, they thought of themselves, the self-righteous, they despised these people. And what soul is there that's not of great eternal value? That's the thing. All souls are of value and of equal value before God. But these thought that there is some better and some worse. They're murmuring, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. See, that eating is the greatest point of fellowship that we have one with another. Eating. Interesting how so much eating is mentioned in the scriptures. There's a supper that our Lord was bid to, and there's a marriage supper of the Lamb that the children of God will be bid to. Eating, we have the Lord's Supper even, and it's not a meal to fill up and take care of your hunger and thirst, but we do memorialize the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for us in it. There is that thing of eating that is the greatest point of fellowship that people have amongst in day-to-day relationships. That of eating together is the point of greatest fellowship that we have. People just don't eat with people they don't like. And so the complaint of the Pharisees here and the scribes is that he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? So here the Lord again, he's pulling something right out that'll just get right to him. You know full well, you'll leave the 99 to go find the one sheep that didn't come back with the flock. The one that got missed, the one that wandered off. You know full well that you will leave that big flock, so many sheep, to go find that one. Well, that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is fishing with the net of the gospel, just like he told the apostles, the disciples that will become his apostles, I'll make you fishers of men. And so the Lord's getting in there close with them. He's talking to them about their need. He's talking to them about their sin, and he's talking to them about he being the Savior and what the Father has done. He's compassionate. He shows the love of God and that there is forgiveness for sinners that repent. Repentance. He told them in a couple chapters before, the terrible death of those Galileans, that Pilate mingled with their blood with their sacrifices, and those people that the Tower of Siloam fell on, the terrible death. He said, you'll likewise perish unless you repent. We beg of you, repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, him and his gospel for the salvation of your soul. I see their time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.